The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Oh, is this man happy that this tournament has started?
Let's go. Play some golf, Gil. We're done talking about it. Let's settle it on the course.
We done started, man. On the show today, Zach and Crack, Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. We thought he might be in Augusta. He is taking a flight to Augusta, not direct, but you know what I mean, headed towards Augusta right after the show today. So he's in studio with us, Unscripted with the Crack Man. Zach Cohen, our VSiN senior editor on tennis and the National Basketball Association. How about the Warriors losing last night to the Spurs?
Yeah, 17.5-point favorites.
And all of a sudden find themselves in a play-in. What the?
I mean, that is the Western Conference standings right now. Every one of these games is a big deal.
What was that? Are we sure? Estamos seguros, coming up a little later on the show. We'll talk NFL draft bets as well. Before we get to the Masters leaderboard, let me just say this. Baseball yesterday was not fun because we lose, the first of all, our first under in Sactown. 2-1, Padres beat the A's. Padres had all kinds of chances early in this game. I think they were, 2 of 14 with runners in scoring and with runners in scoring position. So we just couldn't cash in on opportunities. But great pitching performance by Vasquez for the Padres, 2-1. So way under the total yesterday. We finally hit the road bump there. And then in that Padres win, the Mets had already lost. So our race to 10 was already eliminated, because the Cubs play the Dodgers tomorrow. So no matter what, with the Mets loss yesterday, we were done. But I guess there's some strange solace in the fact that we couldn't have gotten past yesterday anyway. The Padres and Dodgers both win. And so if you had a Dodgers or Padres ticket for race to 10, you are dead heated. Mazel tov to you. Congratulations. Dodgers are a dead heat race to 10, and they're in third place in the NL West. What a trick they pulled off.
Man, there is, once it's happened to you multiple times, though, even when you win and you get dead heated, there's just this meh feeling.
It really is true.
It really is.
You are not exaggerating that. The dead heat is so punitive. The dead heat, again, is not a oh, you get half the money between two teams, right? And it's not, you get a third if it's a three-way tie. It is that minus your initial stake with the math on some of these. So it ends up being exactly that reaction that you said, which is like, oh, cool, we won.
Cool, yeah. Cool. It's like a push, like almost. Sweet.
Kind of, yeah. But anyway, congratulations to Padres and Dodgers folks nonetheless. To golf, Augusta, first round of the 89th Masters, a tradition unlike any other. And we'll be updating the leaderboard, each in, all through the morning. And let me just say this also, please, it is early. It is so early. And we've already had some folks, what was it, Kelly? Someone was like, all these golf experts, like through one hole, they thought this guy was going to win.
I walked in and saw a tweet come across. And like, I know they tweeted me and a couple of people who didn't bet Kevin Yu. I have bet multiple times this year, didn't bet. I walk in though, and I'm like, they're like, everybody tipping Kevin Yu this week. What are they talking about? I'm like, man, how bad did Kevin Yu do in his first couple? Let's pull up the leaderboard, one over through one. I'm like, all right, let's maybe calm down a little bit. It's a long tournament, folks. Kevin Yu is 2 over, though, through 8 now.
What's that again?
He is 2 over through 8 now.
Who is 2 over through 8?
Kevin Yu.
Kevin Yu is 2 over through 8. Why do you bring him up specifically? That's who the guy was talking about? Yeah. We have a tie, 2 under, again, early. This is like, the first part of the first quarter of a football game. You have Zach Johnson, who's 2 under. Zach Johnson won the Masters back in 2007, a two-stroke winner over Retief Goosen back then, 18 years ago. Zach is 2 under. He is tied with Chris Kirk, who is 2 under as well. We have an amateur, Noah Kent, who is also 2 under. By the way, Zach Johnson and Kirk 2 under through 6 holes. Kent 2 under through 5. Aaron Rye in his Masters debut. Is that right?
Aaron Rye in his Masters debut. Yep.
Through 4 holes is 2 under. Trying to become, what is that Masters comment made every year? The last debutante to win a Masters. Fuzzy Zeller back in 1979. And let's see. Also, you got, through 3 holes, Brian Harman is now 2 under as well.
What if Brian Harman just never loses again, Gil? What if he wins every golf tournament for the rest of his career?
He's a streak of 1 right now, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
And then just now, Nikolai, how do we pronounce that?
Højgaard.
Højgaard.
Check out this round.
The Dane is, he's 2 under through 8, but as Kelly is alluding to, he was 3 over through 2 and has birdied 4 of the next 5 holes to get to 2 under. So he's all over the place.
Five of his next 6, he birdied. That's where he's through 8 right now. Yeah, 2 under.
1, 2, 3. You're right. 5 of his next 6. Pardon me.
That's an insane round. Another debutante.
3 over through 2, and then 2 under now through 8. There you go. You're absolutely right.
Chris Kirk and Harmon are interesting. Those are good starts for those guys. I mean, look, they got the game to at least to get in the mix here.
I'm more fascinated by some of the folks who are one back at 1 under, including Bernhard Langer, who is sticking it to Kelly. He's like, Achtung, Bidlin.
Hey, you know what? Joe Peters just texted me too. He's tied currently with old Stephen Yeager. It's not like there's a 6-stroke separation.
It's okay. We just want Bernhard to give you a sweat. That's all we want.
No, it's just so rude. Yeah, Chris Hartman's just stopped by and said hi. Tweets into the show.
It was
all
Chris
the time.
Hartman?
Yeah, it was Chris Hartman.
I walked by you guys. I didn't know that was him.
He brought me super glue for my cracked fingers.
Oh man,
it was a very nice gesture of him.
I'm sorry, Chris Hartman. Corey Connors, your boy, is one back.
That's right. Yeah, he's one back. But yeah, we were talking about it, and he was laughing about that bet. And I was like, yeah, honestly, I don't even know why I made it, because it's going to be the bet I check in on the most over the first like 2 days. That, and you're like, am I really sweating out Stephen Yeager versus Bernhard Langer and something like that? There's bigger things to care about in this tournament.
Oh, don't lie. That's what you're fixated on.
I mean, like, that's where your money's at. That's where you're going to care the most.
I added last night. Remember, I only had Sepp Straka to win the whole thing, and Sepp Straka top 10 going into yesterday. I did add Rory to win it at plus 750.
Let's go.
I did add Rory to win at plus 750. And the only other thing I added was Minwoo Lee to be a first round leader. And when I looked up, when I walked into Circa this morning, his first shot was in the woods. Not really in the woods, but behind a tree or two. So I don't know where he ended up after the first hole. He bogeyed it. So Minwoo Lee, 1 over. After 1, 3 back, early stages of the Masters. Did you add anything between yesterday and today?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think everything by the time we did the show yesterday, I had made every single bet, and I didn't add. I did one last look around last night, and man, there's so many. Like, this is, I don't even want to know what my betting card would look like if I was on the East Coast and had some of these other books available. But even MGM and Caesars, just continuing to post new markets leading up to the event. So I did do the, like, too long on the couch last night, scrolling through markets where, yep, I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. That's interesting. But I'm like, Kelly, you're good. You got enough.
And there's plenty of time to add more tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
As well. How many media spots did you do the last 24 hours, including your debut on By the Books this morning with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis?
5 others in the last 24 hours.
Oh, my God. What was interesting about what you said, though, is that we find this in betting all the time, is that when you are asked to do things in the non-betting space necessarily, the different levels of knowledge, you were saying.
Yeah, and I just thought it was a couple of the conversations I had. It's tough. I understand. Anybody who loves golf, whether you're a better or not, when you hear someone's betting Rory McIlroy to win the Masters, of course, from us doing media for years, that is the number one thing you want to latch on to. But you're kind of sitting there and like, okay, but you bring me on as a betting, like, a more of a betting expert. Like,
I just want to talk about Rory.
Right, like, you guys just want to talk about Rory, and I understand why, but, like, you bring me on because we want to talk about how to make money in this event, and that's just one very, very small piece of the pie.
You should just scream it on your way out. Just be like, that's not what I really care about.
There was one I did. I was like, by the way, top 20s that I really like this week. Sepp Straka, Robert McIntyre, Corey Connors.
Back to the basketball thing for a second here, because we got tons of guests, yeah, and we got to squeeze it all in. But I'm just curious, so the Warriors fall to 7. Clippers win last night. Lakers win last night. In Luka's revenge game back in Dallas.
That was crazy. Game was crazy.
Scores 31 in the first half, 45 for the game. Lakers win by 15. But the Spurs beat the Warriors by 3. Warriors, as you said, were 17.5 point favorites. The Warriors fall to 7. By the way, the Nuggets win their debut post Michael Malone. See what I did there?
You're the first one I've heard it from, Gil. First one.
Clippers crushed the Rockets by 17. I mean, that's as significant, too. But do the Warriors, now I'm not going to say do they care, because obviously they do. They got to play extra games
right
if they end up at 7. But would they hate a 7-2?
Oh, not at all.
That's the thing about that, yeah. Right? Because then they get the Rockets. And if you basketball hardos are so skeptical of the Rockets, that ain't a bad thing.
So we've had this conversation in years past, though. This is the, yes, if that's how it ends up, I think the Warriors will be perfectly content with that. The problem is, and I this is where we had all the questions about, do we like the play-in tournament? Do we like the in-season tournament? This is where, like, the play-in stuff's great, right? Because, yeah, that seed would be awesome, and they'd be happy with it, but you can't. Like, you want to do everything possible to stay out of that play-in tournament because you don't want to let two basketball games decide your entire playoff.
I'm just always fascinated by how, again, we as, and this is in multiple sports, not just basketball, how we as bettors, and as sports fans, by the way, just beyond betting, we often tend to focus on seeding. And I always wonder, do these teams, are they playing chess while we're playing checkers, or do they not care at all? And I do wonder with the Warriors what their preference would be. And by the way, if you finish 7, you still got to beat the Timberwolves in a 7-8 to get
but
to 7.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's what's so great about the play-in tournament, because you can't...
No.
However much you want to think about different stuff, there's a line in the sand at the 6th seed, right? You need to finish top 6.
I'm not
6.
Suggesting they wanted to lose to the Spurs at all. But what I am suggesting is, this morning, they're like, maybe not the worst thing in the world. That's what makes it all very interesting. 2 games left in the NBA season for almost all the teams that are still involved. We'll come back. NFL draft positional stuff. And we'll update the Masters leaderboard throughout the morning. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Do not forget, by the way, about VSiN.com. Here we are prattling on, Kelly, about this, that, and the other thing, and VSiN.com just lives. Check it out. Greg Peterson's MLB pick, Steve Mackinnon's Food City 500 NASCAR simulation. I know you're all about that. Food City 500 NASCAR simulation?
I'm going to go with the Matt Brown line of somebody with a last name starting with B will win.
Today's Keeneland horse racing picks. Coming up today, Masters Round 1 recap, Round 2 best bets, Zach Cohen's NBA best bets, and Jonathan Davis's NHL picks. All of that at VSiN.com. If you go to VSiN.com/subscribe, you'll get the summer special for full access until August 1st for only $59. $59. VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Dan Groeschel, for those interested in knowing the White Sox losing streak reaching 7 yesterday after having the tying run pull a hammy, rounding third to make the final out of the game yesterday. Some of us would not be upset to see another Cleveland win today. He sounds like a guy who may have a White Sox longest losing streak over.
I did see that play that pulls the hammy. Oh, man.
We talk about the Masters this morning, not to overreact. That's when the White Sox won a couple games early, people were like, oh, maybe they're really good this year. No, not quite. Jason H11, yo. Well, Kelly, I'm on the East Coast, and I was doing just what you said. The new markets popping up had me to the point where I had to lock up my phone and iPad. Hashtag, I think I bet on everyone. Sorry, I had to sort of navigate that. And New Jersey, New York, GV. Not a fan of for the play-in for the NBA, however, and I'm sure Paul Carr will attest to this, with the new Champions League format, the incentive of getting the 6th seed is more just avoiding the jeopardy of 2 games potentially going wrong than any advantage with who you face round 1. Oh, there's no question about it. I'm not suggesting anything else. Absolutely. I mean, the biggest advantage in any playoff, we say this in the NFL, is not having to play a game.
Yeah.
Right? That's why the number 1 seed means so much.
I think when they first rolled that out, though, Gil, I think there was, I don't want to speak for anybody else. For me, I thought there was going to be a lot of excitement with the, okay, give a chance to that, the 8, 9, 10 seed teams, that maybe a team that was out of it, to get a chance if they catch, maybe they get hot late in the season, give them a real chance to make the playoffs and see what they can do. But no, right away, it's just been it's been more of the top of the standings trying to avoid at the end of the season falling into that range.
Cannot recommend the Masters app enough this morning.
It's like the best app ever.
Best app ever for leaderboard and for other things as well. What is the TV coverage like before ESPN goes on air today?
ESPN Plus, multiple feeds going on there.
And that is annoying as all get out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you've got, well, the one that gets tricky is they try to name each one, but then like when it's really early, they just start the main feed, basically. It's like, I think it's holes 4, 5, and 6. You go to that feed right now, and it just has the whole main feed going. Mm. But like in 2 hours or 3 hours, it's going to be like 4 different feeds.
Jaeger birdie. Jaeger, 2 under also now. 1 stroke.
Crushing it.
I heard of Bernard Langer.
Where do I cash my ticket, Gil?
It's over. Cash out option available. Okay, NFL draft. This month, once the Masters clear, it's kind of all about this. I have made one bet. I have bet Travis Hunter to be the second overall pick at minus 135. You have made multiple bets so far on this.
I have. Yes, I have. Let's see. I've got an entire $30 on Cam Ward to go number one at minus 190.
Oh, you should be making a lot of money on that. You want security out of the building when that one cashes?
Please, yes, please, okay. Please. I'm scared to cash that one. Let's see. I do have a long shot on Jackson Dart to go second overall at 80-1.
Second overall. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then the more realistic bets. How about that? Ted McMillan under 18.5 for his draft position at minus 190. We're going to talk about a draft position with Matthew Colden.
Because this is McMillan, it gets a little interesting here.
I'm with my man Felica. I went Ashton Gentry over 9.5, which you can get a much better price on now. I just think some of these teams in the top 10 that they're too many weaknesses across the board to be addressing running back. It's nothing against Ashton Gentry. Just how many holes are on some of these rosters? I wouldn't be surprised if he drops a little bit. I don't think he's going to fall far. Still think you're going to get two running backs in that first round, but I think I'd be a little surprised if he goes top 10. I could be dead wrong. I didn't bet that one too heavily. And then the position totals, I did load up on these, obviously had to at the prices that I paid, but running backs under 2.5, only think it's Hampton and Gentry that go in the first round. Then quarterbacks over 2.5, and feeling more and more confident about that one, Gil. I mean, I would probably bet it again at current price, but that is my biggest position so far as the quarterbacks over 2.5 laying -300.
So Mel Kiper put out his mock draft like 26.0 yesterday.
I think
something
it's
like
four,
that.
But yeah. Yeah. Feels like it, yeah.
Oh, it's four only? Okay. And again, it's one guy who does a mock draft. There's obviously plenty. You may not prefer Mel Kiper over some others. Perhaps Daniel Jeremiah is your favorite, whatever the case may be. Kiper came out with yesterday, and we'll just use it as a barometer for some of these positional plays. Mason Graham's number, position number is, in terms of his positional draft number, over under 5.5. Mason Graham, the under 5.5 is juiced at minus 155. And the reason that the under is juiced is that picking fifth is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Mason Graham, the Michigan defensive tackle, is someone who they apparently covet. And so that's why his position is 5.5. The under's 5.5, again, juiced at minus 155. It feels like, and when the question comes up, and we will ask this question many times of many draft Knicks here between now and the actual NFL draft later this month, you know, what's the biggest team-to-player match beyond Tennessee taking Cam Ward at 1? And it might be Jacksonville and Mason Graham at 5. So I understand why the under is juiced at minus 155.
These are a little crazy. I think always with these compare. So, you know, we were talking about you and I were talking about this with a couple other ones yesterday. But compare, if you're looking to play an under there, compare it to what the top 5, odds to go top
correct.
5 are. Or
yes.
Or if you think it's going to be Jacksonville exactly, right, you go 5th overall pick.
So many ways to bet these things and try to figure out what maximizes your bang for your buck. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, number 5, he's minus 125. So you're
there
getting 30 cents better. If that's where you think he's going to go, obviously they're building in 30 cents extra because he could get drafted before that. But something to keep in mind, Gil, I'm scrolling down. DraftKings has player exact pick, right? So number 1 pick, number 2, all the way through 7. There's a odds-on favorite in every single one of these now.
Shedeur Sanders. We'll just do the draft positions for giggles for this for our purposes here. These are all numbers according to DraftKings. Shedeur Sanders. Mel Kiper. So again, a Graham number 5 to Jacksonville per Mel Kiper's last mock. Shedeur Sanders, the often talked about and discussed and really a big variance in where folks think he's getting, if folks think he's getting drafted. Mel Kiper's last mock, he goes 9th to New Orleans. His draft position at DraftKings is 8.5 with the over, meaning, again, you have to do a little word puzzle with over and unders. Over 8.5 means 9 or beyond.
Yes.
Just to make sure if there's no there's no confusion there, because sometimes it gets a little dicey in people's heads. So Shador over 8.5 is now -200. Remember, he up until like a couple weeks ago, he was mocked to go top three.
Also caught a report from Jordan Schultz yesterday saying Shador Sanders still in play for the Browns at number two. However, quote, Travis Hunter seems to be the favorite, which I know you like to hear.
Yes. There's a bunch of these that are really interesting. So, by the way, under 8.5 for Shador would be +160. But again, Mel Kiper had him 9th to New Orleans. Ashton Jeanty, the aforementioned Ashton Jeanty. You and Felica have him going over 9.5. Right now, over 9.5 is +200, 2-1.
Much better price than I get.
Ashton Jeanty mocked by Kiper in his latest to still go number 6 to the Raiders.
Yeah. And he is, so if I brought that up before, number 6 overall, Ashton Jeanty, -150.
Tyler Warren, tight end, wearing John Riggins number 44 in tribute. His draft position is 9.5. The over, meaning 10 and beyond, is -160. Kiper had him going exactly 10th to the Chicago Bears at number 10.
Makes sense.
Okay. Matthew Golden. Now, here's where the Teteroa McMillan stuff becomes interesting, because you have him as number one wide receiver, and you laid a lot of juice on that.
No. I played draft position.
Oh, draft position under 19.5. Yeah. Oh, pardon me. Okay.
But if you compare
yes.
to the number one wide receiver odds.
Well, Matthew Golden's draft position is 17.5. Over 17.5 is -165. Kiper has him going 16th to Arizona ahead of McMillan, who he doesn't have going until, I think, past 20.
Well, what does he know?
What does he know? I'm just telling you, take it for what it's worth. It's one person, right? Colston Loveland from Michigan, over 19.5 is +140. The under is juiced at -175. And sure enough, Kiper has him going 14th to Indianapolis.
Heard a lot of love for Colston Loveland. And directly to the Colts.
Jackson Dart's position is 24.5. The under heavily juiced at -210. Kiper doesn't have him going until 26 to the Rams, which means the over +165 would indicate value if you are to go with Kiper's latest instinct. And then finally, Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State, the wideout, draft positions at 29.5, the under slightly juiced at -140. Kiper does not have him go until the second round, 36 to Jacksonville. So the over would have a little value there as well. Interesting to look at anyway. We'll come back. Zach Cohen, tennis in the NBA next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get NBA prop analysis at unabated, including expert profitable player props projections for every game real time. Say that 3 times fast. Ready, Killer? Expert profitable player props projections.
I'm not even going to try.
For every game real time, NBA news regularly first to release breaking news that helps bettors find edges on markets, sit-start projection scenarios to see how a player's status will impact the projections of their teammates, and access to Unabated's expert team. See how we cleverly waited to tell you what it was? Unabated is what we're talking about. Through their Discord channels and regular interactive live streams, go to unabated.com/vsin for subscription info. That's unabated.com/vsin. I cannot say enough about their variety and strength of their tools over there.
Everything. Unabated.
Captain Jack, Rufus, all them dudes.
Thomas Viola. Love old Tommy. I haven't seen him in forever. Where you been, Tommy?
Great guy. Yeah. Love them all. Okay. Let us discuss multiple sports with the great Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor. And when I say multiple sports, I will start hesitantly with golf because I'm not even sure that he has any golf bets. Zach joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. Did you make any Masters bets, sir?
Yeah, I think I told you before the show, I took Sepp Straka at 70-1. I do not follow much golf. I watch it a little bit. I can't give you much analysis. I just saw a lot of people smarter than me saying that Straka was a great value. So I jumped on it to have a little something for the Masters. And I'm in a few Masters pools too, but just for fun.
Okay. So just Sepp Straka. Tennis, Monte Carlo. This is a 1,000. Again, there's the slams and then it goes to 1,000. So it's a big tournament in Monte Carlo. And what you described as playing in sand. Did you see, before we get to any of your picks, did you see the point between Carlitos Alcaraz and Alejandro Tabilo this morning. Might have been the greatest point I've seen all year.
No, I thought you were going to ask me about the Berrettini and Zverev point, which was also unbelievable, a 48-shot rally. There's been some good stuff at this tournament so far.
Oh, this rally had about four shots where you're like, there's no chance he's getting to it. But it's clay, right? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you end up on today?
So the only thing I have left is a parlay with Tsitsipas to beat Nuno Borges and Alejandro Tabilo plus 1.5 sets against Grigor Dimitrov. I ended up winning on Arthur Fies this morning, and I lost a parlay with Rude and Tsitsipas where, man, I was just watching that Rude match, and he completely outplayed Alexei Popyrin for like 85% of that match, but just lost some of the big points in, you know, typical Casper Rude fashion where he looked so good and then just kind of unraveled a little bit.
Yeah, Alcaraz was playing Cerundolo, pardon me, earlier. So it's a Tsitsipas and who parlay?
Tsitsipas to win against Borges and then Tabilo to win a set against Dimitrov.
Gotcha. Okay. That's in Monte Carlo. To the National Basketball Association, only 4 days left in the NBA regular season, only two or three games left per team, depending on what that team is. Do you have any plays today?
Yeah, I have a few. I have the Pistons minus 3.5 against the Knicks. This is a play that really just has a lot to do with the injury report. New York will be playing without OG Anunoby and Josh Hart tonight. Those are two players that I don't really think they can miss. I think Brunson probably goes off in this game, and maybe the same for Towns, though I do think he might pick up some early fouls and really get into trouble. But you're missing Anunoby and you're missing Hart. Those are two of your best defenders. It's not a team that I really believe in defensively to begin with. And the Pistons, coming off a bad loss to the Kings at home, I think they're going to end up winning this game and winning it somewhat comfortably.
All right. Was there any more? I thought you said you had three. Did you have three?
I have two. Okay. I have the other one that I have is Timberwolves minus 1.5 against the Grizzlies. And this is a similar situation where we just saw Memphis lose Jalen Wells on a play that you might have saw. Yeah. I was very angry about on Twitter. I think that Wells is a very good defensive player, has been one of the best rookies in the class this year. And, you know, this is a team that's already missing Brandon Clark for the rest of the season, has slipped defensively in the second half of the season. I'm not sure they can afford to lose him. And I think Minnesota is another team, like I said, after Detroit, this is a team that needs to get back in the win column, has an opportunity to move up quite a bit in the Western Conference standings with every win the rest of the season. So I think that the Timberwolves are the stronger team and they find a way to get it done.
Okay, so we are this close, right? This close, meaning no space in between those two words, to the end of the NBA regular season, which means play-ins begin next week, towards the end of next week. It's the actual playoffs. Usually we don't have a lot of value in the futures markets. You see it differently this time.
Yeah, I think this has been a really strange year, and the bunching up that we have in the Western Conference means that we're going to have a lot of uncertainty in terms of playoff matchups. With one team, I don't really care. With the Clippers at 17-1 to win the West, 50-1 to win the NBA title. If they have to face OKC in round two, I mean, I'd rather them not, but I do think they could win that series. I think if you look back to March 1st and on, there's three teams in the NBA that have a net rating of plus 12 or better in terms of efficiency differential over at cleaning the glass. That's Boston, that's Oklahoma City, and that's Los Angeles. This Clippers team has been unbelievable on both ends of the floor. I believe they're third in both offensive and defensive efficiency in that span. Kawhi Leonard is healthy. James Harden is playing unbelievable, and I think that, like I said a few times on a few different shows, I think they have the best defensive center in the league right now, and Ivica Zubats. And obviously this is a team with a lot of depth, a really good X's and O's coach, and a strong home court advantage when they do play at home. So I think the Clippers can beat anyone. It's just a matter of betting on, you know, Kawhi Leonard's health, which can go at any moment, but he has looked very good for the last few weeks.
And we have a lot of, you know, look, justifiably so, right? JVT calls the Western Conference playoffs the Thunder Invitational, famously, and we have a lot of others, including my friend Kelly Bidlin here, who was very bullish on the Thunder, and everyone understands why. But to your point, when they did lose in the fashion that they lost to the Lakers and the Rockets this past week, was that enough for anybody who had any anti-Thunder sentiment or pro any other team sentiment to just sort of nod their head and be like, see, there it is. That's what they're also capable of. I knew it was coming at some point. And if they play like that, like they did in those two games, forget the Western Conference, they could be bounced early.
Yeah, and I forget the exact stat that I sent to Kelly and JVT the other day, but I think there's something like 12-9 against some of the best Western Conference teams with size. So I think that they can struggle in the right matchups. A lot of the lack of belief I have in the Thunder is just kind of price related. Like, I do think they are the best team in the Western Conference, but I don't think they should be priced the way that they are. I think that we saw last season when they faced the Mavericks, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren both disappeared a bit. And obviously this is a much better team than it was last year with Isaiah Hartenstein and Alex Caruso in the mix. I just don't think that they are unbeatable. And I think that the Clippers especially are playing right on the level of the top teams in the league. So yeah. I thought that was an insane value at 17-1 to win the West. I also think it's a good value, 50-1 to win the whole title.
I can feel Kelly seething a little bit in my anti-Thunder stock. He's like, that's poppycock. That's malarkey. It's hogwash.
I agree with everything with the Clippers, though.
Okay. There you go. What was the other future that you had your eye on?
I think the one that I like is Pacers 32-1 to win the Eastern Conference, which is something I've kind of been saying all season long. I wrote it, I think it was 2 months ago that I took the Pacers to win the East also, but it's not necessarily a play that I think is going to win, but I do think there's a decent chance that they end up in the Eastern Conference Finals just based on matchups. Like, they really should win if they face Milwaukee in the first round. I don't really see them losing. And then you get Cleveland in the second round. And I think if you wanted to get a team between Cleveland and Boston, you'd rather it be the Cavaliers, just because we have not seen them do it in the postseason yet. And for as good as Kenny Atkinson has been with this team, as much as he has changed the offense, it's largely the same team that we saw last season. And I think that this Pacers team is really deep. Tyrese Halliburton is playing great, and Rick Carlisle is a really good X's and O's coach in the postseason. So I wouldn't be surprised if they make the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you're sitting there with a plus 3,200 that you can hedge if they face Boston.
That preempts my question, which is, okay, if I came to you from the future and said neither the Cavaliers or Celtics wins the East, who does? I guess there's your answer with the Pacers. Pacers, Clippers, NBA Finals matchup, anyone? What would that pay?
Oh, man, I have no idea.
Forget the exact, just the matchup itself. That must be great odds on something like that, if we're to follow Zach's advice there. The Warriors losing yesterday, falling to seventh. Who knows if it will hold through the weekend? Maybe they climb back up to six. It doesn't take much here because there's tiebreakers involved. But if they end up seven, I sort of threw this out with Kelly earlier. Okay, then they get the T-Wolves, let's say, in a 7-8. Oh, boy. On the one hand, you don't want to play these extra games, obviously. On the other hand, as I said, if they win that, they get the Rockets. Not the worst thing in the world, or bad?
No, I think you really want to be the seventh seed this year. And I'm not saying that to try to disrespect the Rockets. I think Houston is unbelievable in a lot of different ways. Like, defensively, that team could play with anyone. I love the way Ime Udoka coaches. I just think it's a general consensus around the league that that team is a piece away from winning. And that piece could be Kevin Durant playing right here in Phoenix with me. I think that that's a team that maybe would beat the Warriors. I would like them in that matchup. But if they faced Minnesota, I would like Minnesota's chances. But I do think that Golden State probably wants to see Houston in the first round too.
All right, Zach, appreciate it as always, man. Do we have a matchup? We didn't find a matchup, did we?
Oh, I did. Not the matchup. They only have exact result posted at DraftKings. It is 900-1 for the Pacers to beat the Clippers.
Well, it's the other way around.
600-1.
Yeah.
I don't think the Pacers are going to make the finals. I just think it's a good enough play that you could hedge later.
Pacers and Knicks much more live in the East now than they were 2 months ago.
900-1 and 600-1. Anytime anybody gives you 900-1, Zach. No. All right. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it very much. Betting on X.
Thanks, guys.
For Zach Cohen, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. We'll update the leaderboard at the Masters and some Are We Sure next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN at the track, the road to the Kentucky Derby, live tomorrow and every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown, with key Derby prep races this weekend. We're breaking down the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses. Join experts Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman tomorrow, 2:10 p.m. Eastern, on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live for expert analysis and insights. Don't miss it. VSiN at the track tomorrow, streaming live, 2:10 p.m. exactly Eastern, as we count down to the Triple Crown. Yeah, man, don't sleep on the Triple Crown as well. Derby, Preakness, Belmont,
I'm pumped with all the guys we talk to every week. I mean, obviously, Somich does a great job. We love talking to him. We got Felica on talking horses with us every Friday. Drew Dinzik's like going crazy with Derby preparation.
Well, he does NBC stuff, right?
Yeah.
Dinzik is, you talk about, Dinzik has gone to bougie levels that are unattainable at this point.
Oh, yeah. You think we're bougie. Come on.
My God. It's fantastic.
He really has, though. I feel like me and you had this conversation once off air, like 4 years ago. 3 years ago, maybe. And I was like, I think I asked you, I was like, I really didn't know Drew did horse racing too. And you were like, and you said something like, yeah, I think he's always done it a little bit. Every year though, it feels like it goes up exponentially with how much he pays attention.
Well, he also dresses the part. He does that whole Derby thing, right? I want to find out from Felica tomorrow. Is there a Triple Crown? Is there a horse that is a potential Triple Crown winner this year? Because I haven't really gotten that vibe yet.
I was going to say I feel like from what I've heard, no, not really.
Yeah, that's what.
But
we did get a tweet from Brosec 1870 who says totally forgot we talked about it last year, but no debutante talk this year. Took Rye 7-1 last night while scouring the markets. Well, guess what? Aaron Rye is your leader. 3 under. First golfer to get to 3 under in this 89th Masters in the early stages of the first round. He is 3 under through 7, and it's steady as it goes for him, because he birdied 2, he birdied 3, and now he birdied 7. No bogeys on his card, as opposed to, by the way, his 1-stroke lead over Chris Kirk, Steven Yeager.
Yeager bombs!
Former Dodger catcher Steven Yeager, I think that's the same guy. 1-stroke lead over Joaquin Niemann as well. Right now, early part of the Masters. That is the steady as she goes round from Rye, as opposed to the the unbelievable round that is taking place.
Gil's
with
loving this.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Nikolaj Højgaard from Denmark. He's a Dane. He has gone. You ready for this? Just want to wait for me now. He has gone, just curious, the sort of a roller coaster round.
He's got one par.
He bogeyed 1. He double bogeyed 2. He birdied 3. He birdied 4. He birdied 5. He birdied 7. He birdied 8. He bogeyed 9. He double bogeyed 10.
A lot of squares and circles on that card.
It's all over the place.
Scheffler is teed off.
Scheffler is just teed off. So bigger names coming now. And where's my guy Minwoo Lee? Is he even for the round so far?
He is even par.
Yes. Even par through 4.
With fellow Aussie Jason Day.
Jason Day. It was the guy last week who was like, hey, why don't you pronounce Minwoo Lee's name in an Australian accent? He was trying to get at me. I was like, the same reason I don't do Adam Scott's. Because I don't know how I would say it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Adam Scott.
I know what you're insinuating.
You just sound British if you try to go Adam Scott. Yeah. The two guys at the top that I'm already getting frustrated about, Gil. Aaron Rye, first of all, great top debutant bet. He was one that I considered, but man, there's actually a lot of quality debutants this year. Search that word.
You ever use that word
never.
Any other time
we
of year?
We say it almost every year. It's only when we get to Masters Week do we ever use that word. Joaquin Niemann just got to 3 under par. Look, Joaquin Niemann was the number one guy when he left to LIV that I was most upset about leaving for LIV, because such a good young talent I wanted to see develop on the PGA Tour, jump ship for the money, and I've bet him a lot, even when he's been over on LIV playing in these majors. The problem is he hasn't had all that much success at the majors. So some guy, he's someone that I stayed away from this year, and right now has a share of the lead. We'll be keeping an eye on him, and then Michael Kim.
Michael Kim is your self-loathing player.
I think I bet him in 6 tournaments this year, top 20s, at least top 20s, if not more. I said. It's the Masters, Gil. Michael Kim, you've been a great bet. You were fun early in the season. I cannot consider you at the Masters. He's 1 under par, and if he finishes top 20, I will be very upset.
1 under through 10, by the way, at the top. Rye is 3 under through 7. Niemann, 3 under through 4. So he has started off really well at the 89th Masters. And again, way early, but I am eyeing that first round leaderboard. I have Minwoo, who is 3 strokes back right now of those two guys. Okay, ready for some Estamos Seguros? Are we sure?
Let's go.
What you got?
All right, we're going to start with baseball here. Are we sure the NL West is the best division in baseball?
Not top to bottom, because the Rockies stink. But yes, generally speaking, you're 4 teams deep. And it is without question the best division in baseball. I think it goes the furthest down of any of the five-team divisions. They're all five-team divisions. But I think it goes the furthest down. Now, some people would argue, oh, the AL East in the end because they have five teams. That the Rockies makes it a difficult question to answer. But I think of the top four teams, the NL West is the best. Talking Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks. And yes, your San Francisco Giants.
Are we sure the Dodgers should be minus 340 to record 100-plus wins?
I am not. I am not, just because of what we say every offseason, which is the worst teams in baseball, right? The worst teams in baseball figure out more often than not. I get it. There are exceptions. The White Sox last year being the most notable. But they usually figure out a way to win 60 games somehow, right? Which would make you 60-102. But that's kind of that point where you can say it on the opposite end, too, with the Dodgers, which is even the best teams in baseball, with exception, right? But even the best teams in baseball will lose their share of games. And going 99-6, what would that be? 99-63? There's no shame in that. Plus, I think the Dodgers at some point, if they, you know, again, if they had a lead, and I don't know that that'll be the case, but if they did, I don't know that there's any incentive. And remember, when we went back, you know, and looked at the best numbers in baseball, the best win totals, and forget the season win totals, but what actually resulted in full seasons in baseball, what did we end up with? The Dodgers last year ended up with they won 98 games and their season win total was 103.5. Well, it's right around there this year. Would it be that shocking if they had 98? Not to me. So what was the number? Minus 340?
Minus 340.
No, I'm not sure it should be that high.
Feels really early in the season to be priced that way. Okay, are we sure Aaron Judge on April 10th should be minus 160 to win the AL MVP?
Minus 160 is not that nuts. So, yeah, I guess. But obviously much subject to change. But, yeah, right now he should be that.
Are we sure, switching to the NFL draft now, are we sure Shedeur Sanders will be the second quarterback selected? So you can go either way on this one, you can go either way.
Well, okay, so let's get back to the Kuiper thing, right? Kuiper had Shedeur 9th and Jackson Dart 26th. By the way, that wide receiver thing that we were talking about, he has Golden 16th and Teteroa McMillan 20th.
And we never got to the updated odds. McMillan is now like minus 235 to be the first wide receiver.
That's a bet. Going against that is a better bet than going against Shedeur going second. Does that make sense?
Going against, you're saying going Golden number one, going, first wide receiver?
Going against the McMillan huge favorite to go one is a better bet than going against Shedeur to go second.
Got
as
it.
A quarterback.
Got it.
I think. So what was the question in the end? Are we sure that
he'll be the second quarterback selected? He's minus 475 to be the second quarterback.
I mean, I'm not laying it, but I think I'm sure.
Okay, to tennis. Are we sure Novak Djokovic will not win a Grand Slam this year?
Not 100% sure, no. There's still that possibility where he's still on his best run, and if the bracket went his way at a Wimbledon, he could do it. But that might be his last chance ever.
Are we sure people should be avoiding betting college basketball and college football futures right now?
No, because somebody out there, I'm not going to say that for everybody, because somebody knows this stuff, right? Somebody knows transfer portal in a way that they believe they have their arms wrapped around it, or what's the expression? Their head,
yeah, right,
whatever
yeah.
it is. But for 98% of the people, no, you should not be betting this.
Well said. Well said. There's definitely for some people, but
yeah,
vast majority.
You got to be a super harder. You got to be like a Bud Elliott type.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay, are we sure Mark Daigneault is out of the coach of the year running?
God, I think so, man. Like, I hate to be this superficial, but the whole reason I made the bet at 50-1, yeah, by the way, not at 2-1, right, was because, hey, if they get to 70, this is a conversation, and it might be the conversation stopper. But once they lost that one game, and then they lost the second one, they can only get to 68, right? All of a sudden, no, the other people have a more interesting case, because we knew OKC was going to be good. We never really thought Cleveland was going to be this good. Kenny Atkinson obviously has buzz each and every offseason. Who's going to hire Kenny Atkinson? So I think Daigneault kind of takes a back seat now. I hate to say it.
Yeah, I agree.
That was the last one?
Yeah, okay. Nothing else we can squeeze in.
Okay, sorry about that. It's like too verbose.
I always overproduce, Gil. You know that. I'd rather have too many.
I like you overproducing. Ladies and gentlemen, Crack on the Other Side, unscripted with Bill Krakenberger, right before he goes to the airport and takes a flight towards Augusta. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.